On the east terrace, he could see more of the confusion wrought by the Festival of the Air participants. Someone's balloon had caught its basket solidly in a large tree, and attendants and balloonists were having a loud argument about it. Several other balloons had apparently dropped baskets of confetti and party toys, which littered lawns and walkways.
We're just having a picnic, and we thought your old geezers might like to see a little color and life.
Over his head in the tree, a balloon basket dangled, its balloon slowly deflating. A dark-coated man Ronnie recognized as an administrator stood under it.
It's trespass!
Hi, Ronnie. Come to our picnic.
Ronnie peered up. The administrator he knew was watching him.
Picnic? In a tree? What are you idiots doing this time?
We're headed down to the shore, but Corey had a bet with George on who could drop a marker square in the middle of the administration building.
Why?
It was the sort of thing George would think of. All they had told him was that they needed lots of balloons hanging around the nursing home on some ridiculous pretext. The girl, whom he vaguely remembered from last season, had dyed her hair in streaks of green and blue and wore a tan coverall with one blue and one green arm.
I don't know. Somebody said this would be a good place. Cheer up the patients who couldn't come to the festival. Anyway, why not climb up and come along?
Because you're not going anywhere. Not until you get out of that tree. Besides, your balloon is deflating. Haven't you noticed?
I told you were too low, Corey. We'll be stuck here for hours, and the others will have all the fun.
You could ride with me. It's not as much fun as flying there, but much more fun than hanging in a tree like an ornament.
No! Unauthorized persons cannot just wander around unsupervised. You, where's your pass?
Ronnie held it out.
Here, I'm on my way out. Couldn't I escort Andalase? It's not her fault.
She's an intruder, a trespasser.
Oh, come on. It's a festival. She's my date.
She didn't trespass intentionally.
The longer he stood here arguing, the more obvious it was that he didn't have his aunt hidden on his person. He told himself that the gloves in his pocket didn't really glow bright yellow either.
And it would get her out of your tree. Or I could help free the basket. It looks like you've got other problems, too.
The man handed Ronnie's pass back.
No. It would be most helpful if you would simply check out now. If we clear the property of legitimate guest, it will be easier to deal with these...
Well, if that's what you want.
Ronnie shrugged and turned away, looking, he hoped, like someone reluctant to leave. He gave a last glance up to the trapped basket.
I'll take your place, shall I, Corey? Sing by the bonfire and all.
You can't go. You aren't flying.
I can pick up a parasail at home. There's still enough daylight. Enjoy your treehouse.
Ronnie made himself walk slowly, looking up when a balloon's burner whooshed overhead, grinning and shaking his head when a shower of glittery confetti covered him in blue and turquoise. At the main desk, a crowd of visitors clustered, complaining about the noise and confusion, about being forced to leave early. Ronnie handed his pass to the harried receptionist with a shrug and a smile, and accepted the gate pass she gave him. Someone tapped his shoulder.
Isn't your aunt in that last row?
Yes, why?
All that noise. I saw one balloon land almost on top of that row, dragging the basket along.
It must have been after I left. It won't bother her, I'm sorry to say.
No?
The avid curiosity of the other man annoyed Ronnie, but he knew he must answer.
She's in a coma. Has been for months.
Oh, well, that's not so bad. But still, my father nearly had another stroke when he saw someone fall out of a basket and have to climb back in.
It's just the festival.
Ronnie turned away. He had to get out of here. He made it out down the long walk to the gatehouse in a clump of departing visitors. Another low-flying balloon nearly scalped him. Someone behind yelled a warning, and the guard at the gatehouse was shaking his head when he collected the gate passes. He had made it to his own vehicle. He had started it up. Others crowded the exits. He glanced behind, half expecting to see someone running to stop him. But nothing. He was on the road home. No one signaled him. No pursuit appeared. At home, he faced the tricky part. While his parents had agreed that something must be done, it had been clear that whatever was done must be done secretly. None of them ever discussed possibilities. For all he knew, they had their own plans to rescue Cecilia, and he had just ruined them. Then again, maybe they'd given up. But they certainly had no idea what he'd been part of. Suddenly, the casual self-invitation to the beach party sounded like just the thing. He left a message on the house board, and went to get his parasail out of storage.
The Serrano Legacy Sporting Chance is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2002, Elizabeth Moon. All rights reserved. Production copyright 2008, The Cutting Corporation. All rights reserved. Performed by Nanette Savard, Colleen Delaney, Sonny Lasky, Andy Clements, David Coyne, M.B. Van Dorn, Elizabeth Demery, Ken Jackson, Peter Stray, Christopher Graybill, Lily Beacon, Karen Carbone, Michael John Casey, Dylan Lynch, Terrence Aselford, James Lewis, Richard Rowan, Eric Messner, and Mort Shelby. Directed by Nanette Savard. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Chris Rowan. Additional original music by Chris Rowan. If you enjoyed Serrano Legacy, be sure to look for the Deathstalker series, available at Road Stops Everywhere, at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net.
De C, it has withdrawn!
Withdrawn?
It has receded!
Tsunami!
It's a tsunami!
Run!
Working on a dig on the southern coast of India, the last thing Anya Creed expects is to be hit by a tsunami or to strike archaeological gold.
Hey! Look what I found!
Let me see that. It appears to be a mechanism of some sort.
Is it gold?
I believe so, yes.
Anya watched as Lochata's fingers found the hidden release inside the egg-shaped device. The device split open like the sections of an orange to reveal the figurine inside. It was a woman, at least from the waist up, but below the waist, she was a snake. Anya is driven to discover the source of the relics at the bottom of the sea. Unfortunately, she isn't the only one interested in the mysterious artifacts.
Where is Anya Creed? If someone does not tell me where this woman is, I'm going to set your ship on fire and kill every person aboard it.
I'm here.
Miss Creed.
I am Rajiv Shivaji. Do you still have the figurines?
No.
I don't believe you. Do you really want me to kill all those people because you like me?
No.
Master Rajiv! Look! It's the Coast Guard!
They've underestimated me, Miss Creed, and they're about to pay for that.
Taken hostage by the pirate Shivaji, Anya finds herself on a river deep in the Indian jungle.
You know about Kumarikandam?
It was a mythical kingdom out in the Indian Ocean.
Not mythical. Once it was very real. A proud and fierce people lived there for a long time. And they amassed a vast fortune. As the island began to sink, the people abandoned their city and fled to the mainland. They took the contents of the treasure room with them.
There!
There! Men! Put to shore!
We must find a throne room. That's where the treasure is supposed to be kept.
But the deserted ruin isn't deserted. And the residents don't like strangers. Rogue Angel number 10, Serpent's Kiss.
If you can't find that hot graphic audio title you're looking for, just head to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can order it in CD or MP3 disc format. Or, the fastest and cheapest way, download that puppy and play it on any of the many devices that'll play Windows Media. And if you're on the road or just a total computer feeb, snatch up the phone and call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220 or www.graphicaudio.net.